الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Viewers on the Madani channel, welcome back once again to another episode of our silsila, O You Who Believe. In this series, in the silsila, we take a look at those blessed verses of the Qur'an in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has begun by calling out to the believers with a beautiful address, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O You Who Believe. In these verses of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted important messages for the believers, for the people of faith, for the people of Iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called the believers to the right path, the path of righteousness, the path of guidance, the path of success. InshaAllah azawajal, in today's episode, in today's silsila, we'll be looking at another such verse, beginning with these beautiful words, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe. And we'll be looking at what topic this verse consists of, and we'll be looking at the pearls of wisdom and guidance that come under the explanation of this blessed verse of the Qur'an. Before moving on to today's verse and today's topic, I share with you a blessing of reciting Durood Sharif, reciting peace and blessings upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. It's reported that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, زَيِّنُوا مَجَالِسَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ عَلَيَّ فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ عَلَيَّ نُورٌ لَكُمْ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, decorate your gatherings by reciting peace and blessings upon me. For indeed, your recitation of peace and blessings upon me, your recitation of Durood Sharif will be nur for you on the Day of Judgment, will be light for you on the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. Today's verse is a verse from Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd Surah of the Qur'an, and it's verse number 41. In verse number 41 of Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah Almighty calls out to the believers and says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. All you who believe, remember Allah in abundance. All you who believe, perform the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, in abundance. The dhikr of Allah is our topic for today. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The remembrance of our Creator. The remembrance of our Lord. The dhikr of Allah, which is the peace and the tranquility to our hearts. And it is this dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about which Allah Almighty says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. That listen carefully. It is only by the remembrance of Allah that hearts find peace, that hearts find tranquility. Remembering Allah is the nutrition for the soul. And the scholars say in the commentaries of the Holy Quran that the reason why the dhikr of Allah is so important, the reason why believers are ordered to remember Allah in abundance, the reason why it is the dhikr of Allah which leads to the solace and the comfort and the peace of the hearts, the tranquility of the hearts, is because when remembering Allah, the soul of a person remembers its true home. The soul of a person remembers where it came from. A person was created by Allah for the worship of Allah. When a person remembers Allah Almighty, his creator, his sustainer, his provider, the heart of that person feels peace and content. The heart of that person attains tranquility. A person was created by Allah for the worship of Allah, when a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person becomes involved and engrossed in the dhikr of Allah, in the remembrance of Allah, then a person is fulfilling his purpose of creation. That fulfillment of his purpose, doing what he was created to do, that fulfillment of the purpose of his creation leads to a feeling of tranquility, of peace, of comfort in his heart. Subhanallah. He mentions that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes sins. And in the commentary of the verse, it mentions that dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the sins of a person. The beloved Prophet alayhi salam said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ سِقَالَةً وَإِنَّ سِقَالَةَ الْقُلُوبِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. That indeed, for everything, there is a polish. And the polish of the heart is the dhikr of Allah, is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the beloved Prophet ﷺ also said, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ أَنْجَى مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That there is nothing which is more salvatory, which gives more salvation from the punishment of Allah, which protects a person more from the punishment of Allah than the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning the dhikr of Allah azza wa jal is the greatest thing which leads to the salvation of a person, the protection of a person from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as medicine removes illness, as water removes thirst, as food removes hunger, as the sun removes the darkness of the light, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the worries and the sadness of the heart. And this is why Imam Ahmad ibn Ahmad al-Sawi al-Maliki rahimahullah, he says in his tafsir, that هَذِهِ عَلَامَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ الْكَامِلِ, that this, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being in a state of remembering Allah Almighty, this is the sign of the perfect believer, the kamil mu'min. And this is why Allah Almighty is ordering us as believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. O you who believe, remember Allah in abundance. And when it comes to the virtues of dhikr, subhanallah, the ahadith are filled with accounts and narrations which teaches about the importance and the virtues of dhikr. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَرْتَعَ فِي رِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ فَلْيُكْثِرْ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ. That whoever loves, whoever wishes to graze in the gardens of Jannah, in the gardens of paradise, then he should abundantly remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should abundantly perform the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's important for us to ensure that during our day, during our week, during our schedule, through our day-to-day activities, we have time dedicated for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's important that we attend gatherings of dhikr. It's important that we occupy ourselves in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, in the environment of Dawat Islami, we gain such opportunities. Every Thursday, the gatherings of the weekly ijtima'at, the gatherings of Dawat Islami are held in cities and countries across the world. It's a humble request that you too attend the local gatherings of Dawat Islami that are held in your area and take part in these beautiful gatherings of dhikr. When it comes to the gatherings of dhikr, is many, many ahadith which teach us about the blessings of these gatherings. It's mentioned that the gatherings of dhikr are so blessed that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about them, لَا يَقْعُدُ قَوْمٌ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا حَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وغشيتهم الرحمة ونزلت عليهم السكينة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. The beloved Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said that whenever a nation sits to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels of Allah surround that gathering, surround those people, and mercy covers over them. Rahma, mercy covers over them. ونزلت عليهم السكينة, and tranquility descends upon them. وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَ, and Allah Almighty makes mention of those people. The people who remember Allah, Allah Almighty makes mention of them. SubhanAllah. And He also mentions regarding the gatherings of dhikr that the gardens of paradise on earth are the gardens of dhikr, the gatherings of dhikr. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا. When you pass by the gardens of Jannah, the gardens of paradise, then graze within them. قَالُوا. The Sahaba asked, وَمَا رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ. What are the gardens of paradise? قَالَ حِلَقُ الذِّكْرِ. The beloved Prophet ﷺ said, the circles of dhikr. So going to gatherings of dhikr, the scholars say, gatherings of dhikr, attending an ijtima', attending a gathering of milad, attending a gathering of jarmi. When he passed any of these gatherings of piety, gatherings of knowledge, gatherings of remembrance, when he passed by these gatherings, then join in with them, graze in them. And the scholars, they ask the question, that here, why is taking part in the gathering referred to as grazing? Why did the Prophet ﷺ say that when you pass by the gardens of paradise on earth, when you pass by the gatherings of dhikr, the gatherings of the remembrance of Allah, then graze in them? He didn't say take part in them. He said graze in them. Why did he refer to taking part in the gathering with the word grazing? SubhanAllah. The scholars say that the beloved Prophet ﷺ compared attending the gatherings of dhikr to grazing, that the grazing that animals do when they take nutrients from the land, when they take nutrients from the fields. Because just as grazing in the land brings nourishment to the body, attending the gatherings of dhikr provides nourishment to the soul. The nutrients of the soul lie in the gatherings of dhikr. SubhanAllah. And the scholars also say that these have been compared to the gardens of Jannah, because those people who attend the gatherings of dhikr are people of piety. And if the dhikr of one person is accepted, then the dhikr of everybody in that gathering is accepted, for the sake of the piety of that one person. And the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it mentions that those angels of Allah, they search for gatherings. There are special angels whose task it is, whose job it is, to come and do ziyarah, to come and witness and view those who are performing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It mentions that those angels come to adopt the company of those pious people performing the dhikr of Allah. And those angels themselves come and listen to that dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With regards to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it mentions that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many types. And some scholars have said that there are three main types of dhikr. Dhikrul lisan, dhikrul qalb, and dhikrul jawarih. The dhikr of the tongue, the dhikr of the heart, and dhikr of the body parts. And what they said is that the dhikr of the tongue is, for example, reciting subhanallah, doing tasbih, reciting takbir, reciting Allahu Akbar, reciting tahaleel, reciting la ilaha illallah, reciting Quran, expressing the oneness of Allah, reciting istighfar, saying astaghfirullah, performing dua, inviting towards righteousness. These are all types of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is done by the tongue. The second is the dhikr of the heart. When it comes to the dhikr of the heart, the scholars have said that the dhikr, the remembrance of the heart, is thinking about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reflecting about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pondering over the perfection of Allah's creation, reflecting upon the sun, the moon, the land, the earth, the rivers, the oceans, the stars, reflecting upon how Allah Almighty has created our own bodies, reflecting upon how Allah Almighty has blessed us with such a perfect circulatory system, and how Allah Almighty has ensured that we have a heart in our body that pumps blood throughout our body. The system of arteries and veins that Allah Almighty has created within our body. The respiratory system, the system by means of which we breathe. The fact that we are able to breathe in And when we breathe in oxygen, we can use the oxygen which is beneficial for us and then remove the carbon dioxide through that same process of breathing. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a brain and the complex nature of that brain, the complex anatomy of that brain, and how Allah Almighty has blessed us through that brain with the intellect to reflect upon things, to think about things, to gain skills in life. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to use our mind to gain knowledge, to gain ilm. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything with such perfection. How the entire world, the sun sets at night, the sun rises in the morning. How this, everything that's happening around us, everything that happens in creation, the perfection of the atmosphere, the perfection of the way the stars are arranged in the sky, the perfection of how the day comes in and the day goes, the night comes in and the night goes, how everything is working perfectly like clockwork, how because of all of this, there must be a creator. Because all of these, وَجُودُ هَذِهِ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ, the existence of all of these things in creation, is a dalil, a proof for وجود الخالق, the existence of a creator. Reflecting upon all of these things with the heart is the dhikr of the heart, the remembrance of the heart. And when remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is also a way of involving our heart in this act of worship. Furthermore, it's also been mentioned that scholars of Islam reflecting upon masail, rulings of Islam, scholars of Islam reflecting upon the meanings of the Quran, scholars of Islam pondering over the meanings of the ahadith, scholars of Islam thinking and coming to conclusions regarding rulings of Islam, regarding laws of Islam, regarding masail. This is also a means of the dhikr of the heart. These scholars are also engrossed in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their hearts. And in terms of the dhikr of the body parts, the dhikr of the body parts is ensuring that a person's body parts are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ensuring that a person does not commit any sins with his body parts. So for example, the dhikr of the eyes would be classified as ensuring that the eyes do not fall into sin. And using the eyes, for example, to look at the Kaaba, to look at the Holy Quran, using the eyes to shed tears in the fear of Allah, using the eyes to look at one's parents with love, using the eyes to look at the beautiful faces of the scholars of Islam. These are all things which would come under the dhikr of the eyes, any acts of any good deeds which are done by the eyes. And Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi rahimahullah, he actually mentions that there are 7 types of dhikr. He doesn't just mention 3, he splits dhikr into 7 different types. He says, الذِكْرُ عَلَى سَبْعَةِ أَنْحَاءٍ, that dhikr is of 7 types. Number 1, فَذِكْرُ الْعَيْنَيْنِ الْبُكَاءِ, the dhikr of the eyes is crying, shedding tears in the fear of Allah. Then he says, الذِكْرُ الْأُذُنَيْنِ الْإِصْغَاءِ, that the dhikr, the remembrance of the ears, is listening carefully to the name of Allah, listening to the signs of Allah, listening to the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, ذِكْرُ اللِّسَانِ الثَّنَاءِ, number 3 is the remembrance of the tongue. The dhikr of the tongue is the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, ذِكْرُ الْيَدَيْنِ الْعَطَاءِ, the dhikr of the hands is giving, being generous, giving in charity. Then he says, ذِكْرُ الْبَدَنِ الْوَفَاءِ, the remembrance of the body. The badan is al-wafa, loyalty. ذِكْرُ الْقَلْبِ, he says that the remembrance of the heart is al-khawfu wal-raja, the dhikr of the heart, the dhikr of the qalb, is having fear of Allah and having hope in the mercy of Allah, subhanallah. And number 7 he says, ذِكْرُ الْرُوحِ التَّسْلِيمُ وَالْرِضَى, that the remembrance, the dhikr of the soul, is submitting oneself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being pleased with whatever Allah Almighty has decided for us. And it mentions that the means of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person remembers Allah in abundance, this leads to a person gaining success, Allahumma, as he says in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 85, وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, remember Allah abundantly, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you attain success. Subhanallah. And success, falah, this is something so incredible, that the scholar saying, in fact, Imam al-Nawawi in particular, he says, لَيْسَ فِي كَلَامِ الْعَرَبِي كَلِمَةٌ أَجْمَعُ لِخَيْرِ الدَّارَيْنِ مِنْهُ, that there is no word in the Arabic language which is more encompassing and more inclusive of the goodness of both worlds than the word falah. And falah, Allah Almighty is declaring in this verse, is for those who remember Allah in abundance. And by remembering Allah in abundance, a person gains closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Almighty Himself says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ, remember Allah. Allah says, remember me. By remembering Allah, when Allah says, remember me, the result of that, the reward of that is, Allah says, أَذْكُرُكُمْ, that I will make mention of you. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And as for those who, ma'ad Allah, who turn away from the dhikr of Allah, as for those whose hearts become hard because of their lack of the remembrance of Allah. Regarding such people, he mentions, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي, whoever turns away from my dhikr, from my remembrance, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ, that indeed for him is a restricted life. Allahu Akbar. He mentions, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, that the person who turns away from his remembrance, then for that person is a restricted life. And the scholars say in the tafsir of this, that this means restriction in the world, in the akhirah, in the hereafter, and in the grave. That when a person turns away from the dhikr of Allah, he has no fear of Allah, no obedience to the guidance from Allah, he has greed for wealth, and despite apparently having all the luxuries of the world, a person has no tranquility, no peace. Why? Because in turning away from the dhikr of Allah, Allah Almighty makes that person's life restricted. So the person who is negligent, who is heedless of the remembrance of Allah, that person, that individual, it's as if that individual, due to the restrictions in his life, he cannot attain any peace and tranquility. And that person might have mansions and cars and wealth and luxuries, but he doesn't have peace of the heart. He can't sleep properly at night. He's always looking over his shoulder for his enemies. Why? Because he's turned away from the dhikr of Allah. And in one narration he mentions that if there's any gathering in which a people gather together and they do not do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's as if that gathering, which is heedless of the dhikr of Allah, is like a dead donkey. And those participating in that gathering, they are eating from that dead donkey. Meaning, they are taking part in something which is impure and a means of disgrace and humiliation. And it's mentioned that dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the key to the success of this world and the hereafter. And the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is a means of entering paradise, to the extent that the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, مَنْ آخِرُ كَلَامِهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, that whoever's final statement, whoever's final word, لا إله إلا الله, will enter paradise. And the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was asked in one narration that, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ وَسَلَّمْ أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَفْضَلْ, which of the actions is the most virtuous, which is the best of actions? The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, أَنْ تُفَارِقَ الدُّنْيَا وَلِسَانُكَ رَطْبٌ مِّن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that you leave the world in the state that your tongue is moist with the remembrance of Allah. Subhanallah. You leave the world, and whilst you are leaving the world, you are in a state that your tongue is in a state of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in one narration, he mentions that the Sahaba asked the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيُّ الْمَالِ خَيْرٍ فَنَتَّخِذُهُ, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ وَسَلَّمْ, which wealth is the best so that we can adopt it, so we can attain it. The beloved Prophet ﷺ said, قَالَ أَفْضَلُهُ لِسَانٌ ذَاكِرٌ وَقَلْبٌ شَاكِرٌ وَزَوْجَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ تُعِينُهُ عَلَىٰ إِيمَانِهِ. That the best type of wealth is a tongue which remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a heart which is thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a believing wife who assists the believing husband, the believing man, upon his faith. Now here, the beloved Prophet ﷺ was asked about wealth, but he answered with those things which are better than maal. The Sahaba kiram alayhi wa sallam asked Ya Rasulullah, which thing is the best wealth, which thing is the best maal? But the Prophet ﷺ gave the answer in such a way that it was as if he was saying that it's more beneficial for you to ask about these things rather than asking about maal. This is the answer that will benefit you more than knowing about which maal is better. Subhanallah. And amongst these things, the first thing mentioned by the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was the tongue that remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somebody might ask, how important is the dhikr of Allah azawajal? For a believer, for a Muslim, for a person of faith, how important is the dhikr of Allah? How important is remembering Allah? To put it simply, remembering Allah azawajal, the importance of this can be expressed by the statement that the dhikr of Allah is a matter of life and death. That's how important it is. Why is it a matter of life and death? Because our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ مَثَلُ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. That the example of the one who remembers his Lord and the example of the one who does not remember his Lord is like the example of the living and the dead. Meaning the person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is truly alive. But the person who does not remember Allah, who does not perform the dhikr of Allah, who is heedless and negligent of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person has been declared as being like the person who is dead. Even though he is walking and talking on the face of this earth, that person is like a corpse. That person is the walking dead. That person's heart has in fact died because of the absence and the negligence from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as the body needs food to continue living, just as the body needs nutrients, so does the soul. Just as the body dies without food, the soul dies without dhikr. And the dhikr, the scholars say that dhikr is something which gives life. The dhikr of Allah is something which gives life. Why? Because the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the dhikr of al-hayy, the ever-living. Al-hayy is one of the attributes of Allah, one of the names of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ever-living. Life, al-hayat, is one of the essential attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an attribute of Allah which denotes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been living since forever and will live forever. The life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not given to him by somebody else. The life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so perfect. The living of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so perfect that the living of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always existed. It didn't have a beginning. It did not exist and then come into existence. This is the case with all the attributes of Allah. So when remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when performing the dhikr of Allah azza wa jal, you are performing the dhikr of al-hayy, the ever-living. Because we perform the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the ever-living, Allah Almighty gives life to our dead hearts. Subhanallah. And on the other side, the person who is negligent from the dhikr of Allah, the person who is ghafil, that person is dead even when he's alive. And the scholars mention, it's mentioned in Risala Qushayriya, the call of one pious person, that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so powerful that those who are the beloveds of Allah, those who are the awliya of Allah, through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the remembrance of Allah, they attain this rank. They reach such a rank that even when they leave this world, they do not die. Even when they leave this world, even when they physically die, in reality they are alive. Because the dhikr of Allah azza wa jal keeps them alive. And those who on this earth We might be living, might be breathing in front of us, but are negligent from the remembrance of Allah. Such people are like the walking dead. And regarding those people who spend their lives in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the scholars say, إِنَّ الْأَحِبَّاءَ أَحْيَاءٌ. Those who are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are the awliya of Allah, because of the remembrance of Allah, they gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are living, وَإِن مَاتُوا, even after they die, even after they leave this world, even after their soul departs from their body, they are living. وَإِنَّمَا يَنْقُلُونَ مِنْ دَارٍ إِلَى دَارٍ. And they only transfer, they merely transfer from one realm into another realm. They merely transfer from one home into another home. They merely transfer from one abode to another abode. They die. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every living being must taste death. They taste death. But the pious people, even after they die, even after their soul is physically separated from their body, they are given a life which is better than the life of this world. They are ahya. They are living through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Views of Madinah channel, there are many, many things that we can learn regarding the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final point that I'd like to make is that the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described the attributes of those who perform the dhikr of Allah in abundance. We started off with the verse addressing the believers, O you who believe, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkuru Allaha dhikran kathira. O you who believe, remember Allah in abundance, perform the dhikr of Allah abundantly. So now, finally, the question remains, what are the attributes of those who perform the dhikr of Allah in abundance? He mentions that the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he stated that the people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the people who won the race, these are the people who took precedence, these are the people who came first. He mentioned the attribute of abundance of dhikr for these people. And in Mirqat al-Mafatih, Mullah Ali al-Qari rahimahullah, he says that abundance of dhikr, this refers to the following things. So if you want to become from those who abundantly remember Allah, if you want to become those who act upon the verse, O you who believe, remember Allah in abundance, then these are the things which we must implement in our lives. Number one, the person who adopts, who practices the dhikr of Allah in abundance, kasratu dhikr, who abundantly remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, he doesn't forget Allah azza wa jal in any state. A person who always remembers Allah azza wa jal. So for example, a person who's in that state will never miss his salah. Because a person who doesn't forget his Lord in any state, when the time of fajr comes, he will pray his fajr. When the time of zuhr comes, he'll pray his zuhr. When the time of every single prayer comes, he'll ensure that that salah is fulfilled on time. Number two, that person worships Allah with sincerity. Number three, that person remains in a state of reflection and gratitude. He gives thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, that person stays away from those people who make him heedless. He stays away from bad company. He stays away from the company of those people who might make him heedless from the dhikr of Allah. If we want to become those who are abundantly performing the dhikr of Allah azza wa jal, who are acting upon this verse, who are implementing this sign of a true believer in themselves, then it's important for us to adopt a good company. Because that good company will lead us to becoming people of abundant dhikr. Becoming people of abundant dhikr will lead us to perfecting our faith and attaining success in this life, in the hereafter. Attaining good company, performing the dhikr of Allah, these are things that we learn about in the beautiful Madani environment of Dawat Islam. Attach yourselves to this environment, you will find that you will have the most beautiful company in this environment of Dawat Islam. Company that will remind you to remain in the state of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal enlighten our hearts with his dhikr. May Allah azza wa jal give us the ability to remain in a constant state of his remembrance. May Allah azza wa jal give us the ability to become perfect and complete believers. Ameen. Bijahi an-nabiy al-ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Wa baraka wa sallam.